Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
And welcome, everyone. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. Businesses work with me because they know I can help them leverage their business with speaking and communication. Numbers to call in, North America, if you're calling in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America and you're listening live, you will have followed the link tobtr.com/9786139. If you've got questions, follow the links to the chat room and leave your questions there. And, of course, everybody can leave your questions on Facebook. Just PM me and I'll pass your questions on to our guest. And it's my great pleasure to have for our guest today, IT and cloud expert James Bomford. Hi, James. How are you today?
Hi, Trish. I'm well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to speaking with you shortly about why in today's world we should be working in the cloud. Now, that always leaves me thinking, wow, in the cloud, what does that mean? So we'll be coming to talk to you shortly, James, about that. Meanwhile, as usual, today's frequently asked question. Now, today's question is, how do you organize your speech? And it's one that I get very, very often. People, sort of one of the first things they come to me and they say, look, I've got all this great information, I've got my story to tell, but how do I organize it so people can follow it logically? Well, I'm going to quote for you Winston Churchill, who arguably was one of last century's best speakers and one that I admire very much. And one of his pearls of wisdom when people asked him about how he structured his speeches was, tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you've just told them. And in today's world, that actually translates to the opening, the body, and the conclusion. So that's how you structure your speech. But first, there's a very important step that you need to think about, and that is you need to know what you want to achieve with your presentation. What is your goal? What is your message? You want to make sure that you've got that in mind. Once you've got that, when you know what you want to achieve, what your goal is or what your message is or what you want your audience to take away, when you've got that, then you can structure it with that opening, body, and conclusion. So then what you do is, in the opening, you need to put in there what they're going to be sharing and something to grab their attention. Then in the body, you're going to include three important facts out of that information. You can't do much more in 10 minutes, so you can break it down into 10-minute slots. So just look at the most important things you want to share. That takes you as a logical progression through to your presentation, to your conclusion. And then in your conclusion, you sum up what you've just been saying. And most importantly, and I think I've mentioned this before a few episodes back, you need to put your call to action in. And that's something that most people forget when they're doing their presentation. So that's basically how you do your presentation. Structure it with an opening, a body, and conclusion. Tell people what you're going to tell them. Tell them and tell them what you've just told them in Winston's wise words. Make sure you know what you want to say. And then do that logical progression through those opening, body, and conclusion. be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there is something you would like answered, don't forget to email me on info@trichel, trichel.com.au, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And, of course, you can always PM me on Facebook or put onto a Facebook page, one of my Facebook pages, and I'll answer your question at the show. Now, it's my great pleasure to meet our guest, James Bomford. Now, James is an IT and cloud expert, and I think he's going to be sharing with us that it's not those clouds that are outside in the sky. There's some other important clouds that we need to be aware of. James is a CEO of Right Click It. He has a Bachelor of Applied Science from Swinburne and has also completed various business, marketing, mastermind, and technical courses. He has 13 years in the IT industry, growing and developing Right Click It using skills he's obtained working for large IT companies like Hewlett Packard, Siemens, and large IT departments for Amcor and Paperlink. And about 4 years ago, James decided to start his own IT managed services company. And then he managed to merge that with another IT company, which has started Right Click It, creating the million-dollar business it is today. With a fantastic, fun working environment and encouraged entrepreneurial activity, Right Click It is constantly growing and enjoying the journey of successes along the way. James is passionate about helping other people solve problems and challenges and implementing digital and cloud-based solutions that help businesses be more productive. Welcome, James. I'm so interested to hear all about what you've been doing with your IT and what this cloud is.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that great intro as well. So the cloud, the easiest thing I had to describe cloud is that it's someone else's computer. So the technology that we use has been around for quite some time now, because we've had email systems like Hotmail and Gmail, which is a cloud-based email system, and it's ultimately using Google and Microsoft's infrastructure to run the systems.
Okay. I have to tell you, James, that I actually understood about one word in three that you just told me then, because I'm not the best IT structured person, and we're really going to have a great chat here, because I really want to delve into what this mysterious cloud is, because I keep hearing about it. I just heard you say that it's somewhere off your own computer that is going to help my business be really great. So how does it do that, Jane? Because I just can't get my thing. You know, why do we call it this cloud business?
So I suppose the reason we call it the cloud, once upon a time, when IT people would do drawings on a whiteboard, we'd say, all right, the computers are here and the people are here and the internet's here. And when we would draw that picture of the internet, we would draw a cloud. It pretty much took off from there. I know that Amazon initially had a whole lot of servers that were sitting around doing nothing, and they decided, well, why don't we lease them out? We rent space on these servers rather than having them sit there doing nothing. So that's pretty much how it sort of came about. The cloud itself is a marketing term, and that's where we sort of get the get that terminology from. So it can be daunting, and the reason it can be daunting is because it's sort of a little bit of an unknown area, and because of the buzzwords we obviously use. But ultimately, it's very straightforward, and once you sort of understand it, the comfort is certainly can come back in.
Congratulations, James. You just managed to be able to define the cloud really simply for me, because I actually never realized where that term came from. And I don't think of all the people I've ever spoken to have actually told me where it came from, that it came from your whiteboard when you used to be doing that and talking about internet. Now, that makes a lot of sense. I thought it was just a term people plucked out of the air.
No. Yeah, so it is from what once upon a time we used to draw the internet on. Well, why don't we use the internet to do more than what we currently use it for, which is either communication or websites.
Oh, brilliant. And of course, now that we use the internet for everything. What started you off? Why do you do what you do?
Okay, so it probably started back when I was in primary school. So I actually would help the teachers with their computer problems back then. So I would they would call on me and say, look, you know, we're having issues, it's not working, and I would show them where the on button was and various simple things like that. So it wasn't overly technical, but I still had the mentality of love of technology and computers in particular. So I went through primary school and then secondary school up until a point where I would want to get into some sort of forensic science or sort of science area, not really realizing that what I was doing was a computer science and that I would actually end up loving and being involved more in computer science. So I decided that traditional science wasn't for me, as in the chemistry and biology side of things, so I focused on computer science, and got a job with Amcor at that stage, a large packaging company, in their IT department, where I sort of thrived, and I really enjoyed the aspect of helping people get over certain IT problems. So I had that tick boxes for me from a troubleshooting and logic and helping people view. And what would happen is directors of various companies and management of various companies would ask me, if you're really good at what you do, are you able to come around to my house and help me set up the home network, help me fix the issues on my computer, et cetera. And what ended up happening is I would then get a bottle of alcohol as a thank you for the work that I did. And so I sort of thought about it, and I thought, I could probably, rather than getting paid in alcohol, actually get paid in real money and start a business from this product. And that's really where it dropped. So as a side business, helping people with their computer problems, I started to build the company from there, to the point where I was helping more businesses and actually take what I got from the big business side of things, so working for the Hewlett-Packards and the Amcors and the Paperlinkses, and take that knowledge that I had and accommodate that small, medium businesses. And what was happening is that a lot of the other bigger, larger providers out there were also doing the same, because they understood that, I mean, in Australia alone, there are more than 1 million small businesses, so that they could both give back and obviously make money from these organisations. What we used to do, say, for an antivirus solution, we would have, you know, huge amounts of support, but the technology was fantastic, and small businesses were missing out. So these security companies would design applications for the smaller businesses, and that's what we've seen when it comes to cloud as well. The larger organizations saying, we can give you the same solution rather than spending hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars a month.
And that's a big journey, James. That's a long journey that you've come, but I'm so thankful that you have, because you've got a company there that is really helping. As you said, there's so many small businesses in Australia, and for them to be able to access the same quality, they need people like you. I have to smile. Just how many bottles of alcohol did you get before you decided to charge?
Before I realized I could actually charge money? So I've got various bottles of Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and Johnny Walker. So yeah, there's never a shortage of alcohol at our place still. And I was 18 at that stage. So yeah, it's still got a good supply.
Just 18 and you're getting all that. That's pretty cool. I'll have to come down to you. Jack Daniels is my favourite. And Jim Beam's not too far behind. So if you've got spare bottles of those, I'll come down and see you in Melbourne.
It sounds like a good party.
Good party indeed. I'm just glad that it's probably you're very thankful that you are now actually decided that maybe charging for your services might be a little bit better, because now, as I've said, you've managed to start this company and you've merged it with another, and you've got what you've put down is a million-dollar company. So what is it about where you are today that you're so happy about? You know, what is it like being able to be where you are?
Yeah, so it was a big journey. And when I first started the business, we small businesses would have to get service to run the sort of email systems that they run today. It would cost many thousands of dollars. It was, for me, it was a whole lot of fun to be able to put in a solution for a business and see them relaxed, knowing that their communication from an email point of view and the storage from a file point of view was actually going to work and give them what they needed with the flexibility. But the cost was quite high. So the progression of the company has really been putting in those servers to the point where I'm now pulling those servers out. We're now saying, well, you can go to a cloud-based system that does the same, but it costs a fraction of the price to have that same and better technology to run one business. So for me, it's been the progression of seeing those larger server installs all the way through to a cloud-based technology where you can go into an organization for a fraction of the cost, pull out that big infrastructure and put in very, very, very light cloud-based email systems or a cloud-based file system or whatever it is. That again gives the business owner that peace of mind. So you know, you can physically see them relax once everything has been set up, knowing that pretty much the infrastructure that we've set up is bulletproof for their business. It's been that progression. But it's the ultimate goal has always been there. The ultimate goal is to give the business owners, the directors or whoever it is, that peace of mind that their business is going to be able to run to the best of its ability.
I think that must be something really wonderful to be able to follow that journey, to start off with helping the small businesses with those servers and then to take them to the next step with the cloud. Now, there was something you just said there about the peace of mind and being bulletproof. And I think this is something a lot of people probably ask you all the time, and their concern is the security of this cloud-based storage. What is it?
Yeah,
is it secure?
Absolutely. Yes, I get I definitely get this question a lot, and it's not always cut and dry to answer, because it does depend on the sort of systems that you are running. In the case of accounting systems, file systems, email systems, the amount of security and redundancy that goes into those systems to provide you with the service costs hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to have all of the boxes ticked. Now, once upon a time, a business would get a server, they put it into their office and that would run their email system and all of that sort of thing. The likelihood that it would be hacked is quite slim, because there are a lot of variables that need to go through. It's not impossible, but it's certainly an option. But the big thing is physical security. A lot of businesses don't have the 24-hour security roaming the perimeter of their business. They don't have the airlock to walk in and out of their office. They don't have the systems and the redundancies in place to be able to protect their data. So physical issues were the biggest thing. Someone could really break into their office and take their server, so therefore take the data. Someone could there's a fire, flood that have destroyed clients' servers in the past. So the cloud-based systems, the cloud provider themselves, go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that they're protected from fire and flood, that they're they have all of their systems needed somewhere else. And again, the cost to that outweighs a small business budget to be able to have that replicated. So the things that are put in place from those cloud-based providers are what give it that additional security. So what they're doing is they're putting in those physical protection side of things, but there's also the virtual protection side of things. So there'll be various authentication protocols. There'll be various firewall systems and other encryption that go with it to protect your data, so that a lot of the time, even the providers themselves are able to get into your without your encryption key that's set up. So while I'm not going to say that it's completely 100% bulletproof hacking for you, it's certainly 99.99% protected from a physical point of view and to some extent from a hacking point of view. So I would actually say that it's probably safer being in the cloud than it would be being on a server in your actual office.
And that must be really, really comforting for a lot of businesses, especially if they've got secure information. It does give them that peace of mind, which you enjoy seeing when you can explain it like that, and they can actually get to have some confidence that that cloud-based system is 99.9% safe. From what you were saying, I'm getting that one of the reasons that you encourage small businesses to go to the cloud is because this cloud, that is, all the servers in this cloud are huge, and the people who have them are actually offering them to a large amount of people. It means that for a small business to be part of that, it's a lot cheaper than for them to try and do it on their own. Is that, have I got that correct?
Yeah, you're spot on. So a lot of the providers out there will actually have an entry-level system. So if you have a customer relationship manager, some of them will actually give it away for free if you've only got a couple of people within the office. And then as you grow, you can then upscale that particular system. So you can add an additional user, and it will cost you X per month. But the real benefit is exactly what you said. To start off with, you're paying very, very small amounts for a system that will actually grow with you.
I would expect, though, that if you're starting to grow and you wanted to start doing some rather particular things, it could then get a bit more expensive.
Yeah, so as one does grow within a business, the systems that they are using will, you know, if they've chosen the right ones to start off with, they will grow with them, and the expense will increase. However, the expense actually having to put in a system from scratch is quite large. So if you can find a system that will grow with you, then the cost is actually quite reasonable. So you're not looking at ridiculous amounts of money.
This brings me to another question. Is this cloud limitless, or does it have does it ever get full?
I kind of pointed to the other day. I said, at what level do we sort of get to where we don't have enough space, we don't have enough storage capacity? What's happening is with the technology that we've got, the cloud providers' hardware and infrastructure is constantly being upgraded. So they're always looking at larger drives between their servers. So I don't know if we'll ever see it. I don't know if we'll ever see it run out of capacity, but certainly it'd be it's one thing to think about to say, all right, well, you know, where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line that you've had your emails for the last 30 years? Do you actually need those emails for the last 30 years? At what point do you say, oh, well, let's start deleting stuff, start getting rid of this stuff? Because the amount of information that we put, I mean, you look at Facebook, the amount of people putting videos and photos, even YouTube, you know, the amount of videos that are on that, the data storage capacity is just massive. And, it's a sort of course, because you kind of have to wonder, as we do grow, as our devices can handle more data and are smaller, and getting smaller but being able to be faster and hold more data, where are we going to see, what are we going to see next, and are we going to be able to cope with that massive amount of data? So it's a good question. I don't know if it can be answered at this stage.
I find it fascinating because I remember seeing pictures and photos of early servers in when we first started with computers and the internet, and these were humongous big machines that took up almost whole buildings to run what would now be like, we run like 50,000 times bigger than that on things that will maybe just fit almost in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when we think about that,
things are just going to get faster and smaller.
So I guess then it'll be just the limit will be on how small can we get, and then how much we can put that into. Because even though we speak about the cloud, there is a physical space. I mean, it has to be on a physical space somewhere.
Yeah, correct. In the book, What the F is the Cloud, the first thing I say is that it's not actual clouds. So, you know, your data isn't impacted when there's a storm. When it rains, it's okay. Your data actually does physically sit somewhere. So these companies out there, so if we look at Box, if we look at a accounting system like Xero, they're using Amazon Web Services. And the Amazon Web Services actually have to be located somewhere. So they have data centers all over the world. They actually have these physical servers. So what you see, and it comes across as pretty seamless, there are a lot of people maintaining, there are a lot of people managing, there are a lot of technology in there to make sure that that all happens for you, because we are in a society where we expect everything to be instant. We want instant access to the internet. We want instant access to our emails. We want instant access to Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Even to the point now where if a business says, actually, I need a server to run a certain application, you can turn around and within a very, very small amount of time have that set up for that particular business because of the way technology is today with its the speed and the infrastructure that we have set up and developed over X amount of years.
And there's a lot of little people running around in the background to get us that instant access. Quite a few people running around.
There are. And a lot of these businesses will have multiple redundancy options. So if one server goes down in one country, it's automatically working somewhere else. So you don't have that downtime. However, it's not completely bulletproof. There is that very, very small amount of time where stuff does go down. I think we've had Facebook go down once, just really brief, and Twitter's done the same. So these things do happen. So it's not completely 100% uptime. But at the same time, we have come a long, long way in giving people instant access to certain things and keeping it going.
In a relatively short time, if you look at it, it's what, maybe 10, 15, maybe 15, 20 years, if that, between when we were just starting out and what we've got now with all these multiple servers?
What we've got now? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, So cloud has been around for some time, but we never really called it cloud. So once upon a time, larger businesses would have servers and they would have applications at each of their locations and that sort of thing. But we wouldn't call it cloud. We'd have other names for it. But in the grand scheme of things, that was a private cloud. So that was their own cloud that they had set up, that they were running with. So we have come a long way, but we've had cloud-based systems for at least 20 years.
Okay, but we might just take a pause there, James. I'll be back with you very shortly. I just want to remind people that you are listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And if you want to log in and listen live and ask a question of our guest James in North America, it will be on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America and you have logged in on tobtr.com/9786139, just follow the links to the chat box. You can put your questions there. And, of course, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions to James. We have with us on the show James Bromford, who is an IT and cloud expert. And James has been sharing with us some of his journey from when he first started helping out the teachers at school to where he decided to be working for big companies, then helping out those people at those companies at home for, listen in people, for bottles of alcohol is what he was being paid in, and he still has those today. I mean, I think that's brilliant. But he did decide to become an entrepreneur, open his business and transfer to getting paid for his services, which is where he is today with his business, which is Right Click It, which I think is a brilliant name. And we might ask James how he came up with that. And he's been sharing with us some really great explanations of what this cloud is, of why we should be in it, and some of the background about where the name came from, and how secure it is and how cost effective it is. So James, welcome back again.
Thank you.
I want to know, James, where did you get the name for your company, Right Click It?
So Right Click It or Right Click IT, beforehand, at the start you mentioned that I started a computer business, and my business was actually called Bromford Technology. So I just figured I'll just keep my name in it and put technology on it. And what happened is I had a friend who also had a company, and his company was called Right Click It or Right Click IT. So he had actually already been through the process to develop the name and the logo and all of that sort of thing, and I did some subcontracting work for him when I first started, and then he floated the idea. He said, "Why don't we merge our businesses?" And I said, "Well, that sounds really good, and I like your name because I'd like to take my last name out of the company name. Why don't we do that?" So that's pretty much how it came about. We merged our businesses, renamed it called Right Click IT or Right Click It. And that went from there. So unfortunately, I can't even claim that I came up with that name. I pretty much just accepted that it was a fantastic name, and why wouldn't I want to continue if the company called that?
Well, look, James, you had the complete sense to see a really good name, and of course the business behind it, and go with it. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Can you just very briefly talk us through, from our listeners, what the process would be if you've got a small business and you're talking to someone about, you know, taking your IT and your stuff off site and making it into the cloud? Are there some traps we have to be aware of? What would be a quick process and questions maybe that you can share with our listeners that they could maybe follow to make sure that they get the right outcome?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to cloud, it's not one solution fits all, unfortunately. It will depend very much on what industry you're in and what applications have been created out there for you. There are certainly some traps. I would not advise just going to the first application that you've found just because it looks good, because there are usually other competitors out there that are either doing the same thing but have better products, or are doing the same thing and have better security. So I would still recommend shopping around. And what I found is that going to networking events and chatting to other people in similar sorts of businesses to find out what they're using, how they're using it, also what they're integrating it with. Like, for example, you might have a business and you've got Google Apps. So you're running your calendar and you're running your email system through Google Apps. And you've got a psychology business, and the psychology practice management system that you want to connect in connects in with Google Apps, then that works really well for you. But at the same time, if you haven't got an email system, you haven't really started with that yet, I would look at the practice management systems and see what they integrate with. So I'll use the same example of the psychology business. A practice management system with that may integrate into an email and calendar system that's a Microsoft system. So if you've already got your Google Apps set up, it doesn't completely be behind the eight ball, but it does restrict you slightly connecting those two systems up if the practice management system that you want to go to is the one that you want to run. So you can change. You can go from Google Apps to, say, Office, Microsoft Office 365, which are similar systems. But you will have to go through a little bit of a migration process. So it's always good to figure out what systems you want in place first and what they connect with before you go down that path. As I was saying, networking events are really good with that side of things because, so as an IT company, we may have technicians that actually go out to see clients, which is very, very similar to a plumbing company, where they send out their plumbers to see customers as well. So you might need a time and tracking type of system that's very, very similar to those two businesses, even though IT and plumbing really don't usually fit together. The way they run is very, very similar to some extent. So it's not necessarily looking at your competitors and finding out what they use. It's looking at people within a business model that you model very similar sort of system, and then it's asking them questions. How do you find it? What are you integrated with? What accounting system are you using? Does that work well together? So there's a lot of research that one needs to do and one really should do when it comes to choosing the systems for your business. And it's obviously always easier when you are starting out because you're starting a clean slate. If you've been going for a little while, it's a little difficult because you may have to migrate some of your systems away to other systems. The other thing is that people out there are always developing apps that connect other apps. So you might have an accounting system and then an e-commerce solution on your website, but the two don't necessarily talk to each other. There's a company out there called Zapier, and Zapier help with those connections. So they say, all right, we'll help you connect your online accounting system with your online e-commerce. So if someone buys something on your website, we know about it, so we let your accounting system know about it. So it's these sorts of connectors that are in the cloud that really show you how powerful cloud technology is.
Could you just spell that connecting sample that you just gave us, the connect in the cloud, that one?
Oh, Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R. Did I say Z-A-P-I-E-R, depending on where you're from?
Yeah, Z-A-P-I-E-R. Yeah, that's something that our listeners might be able to investigate. So we now have got connectors in the cloud, which help you connect to similar applications that you've got, which don't normally talk to each other. correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. You're great that you're talking to someone like me, because I can bounce back to you some of the things, because, as I said, IT is like very much cloudy to me. It's a very cloudy IT.
Yeah, and I love it. I love speaking with someone like yourself, because it does pull back a little bit and say, actually, people don't understand what you're talking about, James. You need to explain it a little bit better. So it's really good having someone like you pull me up on some of those things, because I could just talk forever on this issue.
It's something that I do all the time, James, because that's sort of what my business is about, is working with introverts and IT people and scientists who are so much expert in what they do, but forget that their clients may not understand exactly all the words that they're using. So that's who I work with to help them understand that. So that's the process then. We look at our business. We look at our systems. We ask a lot of questions, we research, we go to network meetings, and instead of looking at all the competitors that are shouting at us to buy me, we go and talk to people who have similar models and see what they're doing. So there's a good process for our listeners to follow. Is there anything else that they need to do then?
I was just going to say, just going back to your checklist and timeframe, that was really good. You talked about systems. What I tend to do is I say to people, look at your business systems first. So don't go out there and go, oh, there's a plumbing system, as plumbing business, there's a plumbing system out there, and it's designed for plumbers. So let's just get that to run our plumbing business, because you would then have to change your business processes to fit that model. Whereas there may be a different plumbing system, or there may be a different system that is more flexible to actually work around your business systems. So I would suggest getting your business systems in place first and working out what those are, so that you can easily go out and find a cloud-based solution or an online solution that fits that business model. You might have to tweak a couple of things, but ultimately, if you have to change your entire business just because the IT system tells you, it may be going against the grain a little bit, so it may not work well as well for you.
Yeah, I think if I was to be told I had to change my whole system just to fit this little IT, I might go off and find someone who could maybe massage the IT to fit my system. I'd be happy with that.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably the way to do it. Yeah.
We've got listeners who've been getting some of this information. They've probably been writing furiously, or if they're going to be listening to this replay, they're going to be writing furiously. But I happen to know that you've probably taken some of these ideas, and you've got a book that is going to be launching soon, a book that is called What the F is the Cloud? And I love the title.
So it's a funny story. I know someone who helps people write books. It's called The Ultimate 8-Hour Author, and Natasha, who runs that, had a workshop, and a friend of mine I was at an exercise class with, and she sat beside me, and she said, "Oh, I'm writing a book, but I need some structure and I need some help writing the book." And I said, "Well, actually, I know someone. I don't know them that well. I'm friends with them on Facebook. I think I've met them once or twice. But she's running a workshop. Do you want to come along?" And this particular said, "Yeah, that sounds really good." Anyway, I turned up to this workshop just as a moral support, and unfortunately, the girl couldn't make it. So I sat there and listened to what Natasha had to say, and I thought, you know what, I should write a book. And then I randomly thought, well, you know, why don't I write a book about what the cloud is? And then I sort of brainstormed and went, well, what is the cloud? And that's pretty much how the name of the book came about. So I sat with Natasha and I said, look, I've got this idea for it. What do you think? And she said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea for a book. Why don't you come along and join my program? And pretty much the rest. Now, I didn't write the book in 48 hours because I do have a business to run and a company to run, and you do have to dedicate a little bit of time to writing a book. So it took me, so I did the course and actually started writing the book in November 2015. So it's been a little over a year, and I finally got the final edit back after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and we're due to print in late February, so I should have the book ready for March.
So we're looking at a March launch.
We are looking at a March launch, which is very exciting.
Absolutely. It's one of the things I speak with of my mentoring clients as well when I'm mentoring. I often come up and say, have you got a book? And we look at how we can leverage the business and how we can get a book going, because it is a really great idea to have a book. It helps with credibility, expertise, and it's something that would like help with the listeners who have been listening to us could say, oh, I've got all these notes, but he's written a book about it. I can go and get his book, and it saves me writing all the notes. So we have to tell them that in March, your book, What the F the Cloud? What is it? What the F is the cloud? Yep. What the F? I love that.
Yeah.
So it's What the Fantastic is the Cloud. What the Feeling is the Cloud. What the Fog is the Cloud. I'm going to leave you to see what else you could put F into in there. And
happy to say the real word if you'd like.
No, we'd probably get into trouble if we did that. But we'll have to save that when we're in person. We'll probably get into trouble. However, where can they go to keep up to date when this book is going to be launched?
So I've got a pre-release still up, so people can actually buy the book now. www.rightclickit.com.au / What the F is the Cloud.
Okay, and we'll put this will be up with the replay, and that so people can see it. And absolutely good idea. Get in now, because I think once this book is launched, when James launches this book, it's going to sell out very quickly. So if you want to make sure that you're up to date on what's happening, I would get in and pre-purchase a book now, so that you're ready to go. Now, James, we're coming to the end. We could sit here and talk about the cloud and IT and your lovely stories for a long, long time, but we're coming sort of close to where we're going to have to wrap up. I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask you. What motivates you? What gets you up and going every night?
So I have a wife and two kids, and what I've done is I've created this business, and I've created a wealth strategy around spending time with them. So my ultimate goal is to be flexible enough to actually spend time with them and see them grow up and not be stuck behind a desk in the corporate life. So that's pretty much why I did this. Yeah.
That's a massive goal. And I would probably tack on to the end of that, giving your clients peace of mind. And I think that's something important that you do.
The biggest thing for this business and are my clients. So without my clients, I wouldn't have this business. And I want to do I want to implement the best solutions and the best ideas for them. And what I found is that when we do move them to certain systems, I'll go back. Once upon a time, IT people would always get the phone call, it's not working, it's broken. We would get angry people on the phone all the time. And so it wasn't the greatest space to be in, and I wanted to change that. And moving people to cloud-based systems, I'm going to get phone calls. Oh, I think you're running fine. Oh, we love this. Why didn't we move to this sooner? Oh, we've got a new employee starting. We'd like to set them up on the main system. Can you help us with that? Or whatever it is. But the shift from the negativity to the positivity has been amazing. And that's what I want to focus on, is changing businesses so that IT is more of a positive part of their business, rather than a cost and an inconvenience.
Brilliant. absolutely brilliant, James. I couldn't agree more. And we need more people like you who do, because, yeah, we can laugh about it, we can joke about it, but, you know, we mention IT to anybody and you get the growl and growl and growl and the grumpiness and I'm going to throw my computer out the window and why didn't he fix it? So for you to be on a mission there to be able to change it for positivity and have those really great, it is a wonderful mission to have, wonderful. In a very couple of sentences, would you like to share any insight or lessons that you've learnt from your journey?
I suppose the lessons have been in business. So when not to jump too soon. I am someone who does like to get things done quite quickly, but at the same time I do have to remind myself to pull it back and just relax and wait. I'm not sure if your listeners or yourself know of Gary Vaynerchuk, I think his name is. But he has said some great things. I watch some of his videos, and to see him say, just be patient. Don't try to get it done right now. Don't force it, because it will eventually happen. Just take your time through it. And I had to learn the lesson the hard time a couple of times from that. I still haven't quite 100% learned my lesson. I still do jump a little bit too soon, but I am learning just to have patience and just take my time a little bit.
I think that's something our listeners can absolutely take on board, because especially with those out there who are perfectionists, who want to make sure it's all right, or those who just have so much boundless energy that they need to get moving, sometimes jumping too soon can get you into a lot of hot water. And
it's
a balance, though, because I would say that if you stay still too long, you can stagnate. So you have to balance that act out.
I agree that if one does get too comfortable or too complacent, that that you can be dead in the water.
Okay. My final question to you, and I'm sorry that we're coming to an end, it's one I ask all my guests, and it is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
So for me, someone who makes a great speaker is someone who is engaging and tells a story. So it's not just and I've had to learn this, because I'm very much a techie kind of guy, and I do love talking about that sort of thing. And I just have to remind myself that actually people don't share that with me as much. And I assume it's the same sense in law, who are very, very passionate about their craft and very passionate about their what they do, but for other people, you can just put them to sleep. So a good speaker would be someone who is engaging, tells a story, and has, I think, real life experiences. I really enjoy that side of speaking.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I couldn't agree more. Stories, being engaging, and real life experiences are something that will always get you a long way on your speaking journey. Finally, James, where can people, just remind us where people can get in touch with you if they want to know more about you, or about your book, or about the cloud?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/rightclickit, and our website is www.rightclickit.com.au. Feel free to post a comment on our Facebook page, or feel free to drop me a line through the contact options through our website. And if you're in Australia, happy to drop me a line and call. We've got a 1300, which is 1-300-885-366, and email as well. If you'd like to email, we've got you can email me directly, actually. James@rightclickit.com.au.
Thanks very much, James, and thank you so much for giving up your time today to be with us. I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, and hope that I can have you back on again sometime. And remind the people, get in, get that book, do the pre-sale so that you're ready to have that book when it's launched. Thanks, James.
Thank you again, Trish. I really appreciate being on here. Thank you again.
You're quite welcome. Now, just before we go, as usual, I finish up with one of my quotes, And if you've been listening to my shows, as I know you have been, you will realize that most of my quotes are based around whoever my guest is or what the subject is that we're talking about. And in this particular thing, we've been talking about IT and about the cloud. So this quote is actually from an author and one that I've read a lot of. And it says, any sufficiently advanced technology is equivalent to magic. And that was Arthur C. Clarke. And that's how I often see when people talk about the cloud and IT, I think, wow, that's magic. And if we were trying to describe all that to someone in the last, like in the 18th century, 19th century, and we were trying to explain to them about the internet, about the cloud, we would be talking magic to them. That's what it would sound like. And I often think about in the future, if we go, 20, 30, 40 years in the future, what sort of language are they going to be speaking about? What sort of terms are they going to be using about technology that if we were to listen in from here would be utter magic to us? It's a fascinating world. IT and technology is a fascinating world, and the cloud is a fascinating world. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish, and I've been speaking to James Bomford, IT and cloud expert. If you want to contact me, you can do so on info@trishel, trishel.com.au. You can connect with me on Facebook at Trishel Innovative Communication Training. My website, trishspringsteen.com. Go there. You can book me to speak at your event, a meeting, conference, or you can book a 15-minute discovery session with me there and talk about mentoring. Take care until we speak again next time. Enjoy your IT. Be gentle with your IT experts and have fun exploring the cloud. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Radio.
Bye, James.